Oh, praise the Lord. God's good, huh? Thank God for his goodness. We're glad you're here tonight. And hopefully we can be a blessing this evening. The word of the Lord. There's a study that Pastor Raymond Woodward of Canada did. And this is what Pastor directed me to his website to use this as a guide. And so we have a handout. Where are the handouts? There you go. If y'all would grab a, just pass those around, everybody grab a copy. Now, I'm not going to follow that. That's for you all. You want to fill in the blank as we go or try to figure it out? That'll be up to you if you'd like to do that. It's just kind of a little help. The scriptures that we'll be using are on that handout. So, praise the Lord. We just lift our hands and love the Lord here this evening. Father, we're just so grateful for you. Thank you for what we've already felt in this service. Your presence is so real, so powerful, so tangible, Lord. How we need that healing in our spirit, that healing, oh God, in our minds, Lord, in our life. Oh, we so need you, Lord. Where else could I go? As Peter said, Lord, you're the only one I could go to. You're the only one that has my help. You're the only one, Lord Jesus, oh, that I could have hope in tonight, oh, without fail. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name. Well, bless all of you here tonight. And so hopefully we can do this justice do a fair job with this study tonight. You know, I've been a student of the subject of prayer about all of my life, adult life, and so I still have a lot more to learn. That's for sure. I have a whole lot more to learn, and I was just tonight in prayer. I was just saying, Lord, teach me to pray. Teach me to pray. You know, the disciples didn't say, Jesus, teach us to sing. They didn't teach us, Lord, how to preach. He didn't even say, teach us how to win souls. He said, Lord, teach us to pray. And all those other things are vital. They're imperative, aren't they? They're important. But he didn't say, they said, teach us to pray. Because if you can know how to pray and make a habit of it, and someone says, well, you shouldn't use the word habit. Well, a habit isn't necessarily a bad thing unless it's a bad habit. But prayer is a good habit. And I don't mean just to do it out of a form, but to make it something that you do all the time. I think it was Corrie Ten Boom. Yeah, anybody ever heard of her? All right. She said that prayer is either your steering wheel or your spare tire. And for many, it is a spare tire. They just pull it out when they need it. When the emergency happens, they go crying before the Lord, asking for help for their sudden trouble in their life. But you know what? That's really tough. I don't know how anybody even tries to pray during that time. It would, you know, because there's not a relationship in that, you know, because prayer is about a relationship. And if we're just pulling that tire out of the trunk when we have a flat, you know, I don't remember the last time I had a flat on my car. My tires get low. I got a leaky tire right down the front left. I put air in that thing. But you know, to have to change a tire, it's been probably 20 years. Probably since I've done, I don't even remember, it's been so long. But what if that was the only time I prayed? And that's how some people, you know, they pray when they come to church and they have this, oh, they really can get with it at church. But God wants that relationship at home. And so we're going to talk about praying the scriptures. And the reason this is so important, and my wife and I, she's done it for years. I've done it for years. And so it's kind of neat that Pastor asked me to do this because, you know, it's been, and many of you probably have done it many times, and I don't do it every time I pray, but there's times I go to prayer, and I don't know what to say. I don't feel like praying in tongues. I don't feel like worshiping. I just don't feel much of anything at all. And so in those times when I don't really feel God, and where is he at right now? Where is God? If, like my mom used to say when she was alive, my mom was a great prayer warrior, a woman of fasting and prayer and walked with God. But she says, sometimes I'm praying, it feels like my prayers are bouncing off of the ceiling. And you know, and you might feel that way sometime, but you know, that's where you can pull your Bible. You can grab your Bible. With me, it's I usually pray in a semi-dark room. That's just the way I like to do it. If there's a cobweb, there probably isn't a cobweb in our room. But if there was a cobweb or piece of paper or so, I don't want to notice anything. I just kind of want a little dark. I just don't want anything to get on my mind or distract, because it's hard enough as it is, isn't it? Because we got life in front of us, on the sides of us, behind us. Life is all around us. And so it's hard enough to focus as it is. And so I don't want to do anything to hinder. But when we grab that Bible, and I got my iPad and my Bible in there, and so, of course, it's lit up, and I can see if it's totally dark. and there's been times that I would just open that Bible up, and sometimes, like I said, I didn't know what to say to God, and I would just sit on the floor in our bedroom, my back up against the bed, and my legs just stretched out, and that iPad sitting there, and I don't know what to say to God. And you could feel like that every day, and this is the fixer right here. This is the fixer. It really is. I don't care if you feel like this for a month. Do it every day you have to do. Do it, because the scripture, and we're going to talk about Psalms being the main point of this, because the Psalms especially is so vital, in because there's so many prayers in the Psalms. And you can take those Psalms and you can pray them to God. Pardon me. There's been times that every time virtually I do this, I'm not feeling like I want to pray or not feeling anything at all. But what I'll do, I'll begin to express, I'll read those Psalms, I'll choose a Psalm, might flip, it might change my mind and go to another chapter. I'm looking for something that'll strike me, something that'll match how I'm feeling at that moment. And I don't pray it in my mind, I pray it out loud, because there's something about verbalizing the prayer that's going to help your emotions. And you need to give your emotions to God. And the quieter you are, I'm not saying you can't pray quiet. Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying you can't pray in your mind. But sometimes you just got to let it out. Don't we let it out in here a lot? We just let it out, don't we? That's good. We need to do that. But it's also good to do that at home whenever you can. You may not do that every day. You may not do that every week. But there's got to be times we do that. And, you know, I don't want the church just to be the time I pray, you know. I don't want to just, Sunday and Thursday I'm going to pray. Oh, it's like talking to my wife only on Thursdays and Sundays. What kind of relationship would that be? She's going to say, where are you at? I mean, you're here all the time. Why don't you ever say anything to me? Why aren't you talking to me? And this is what, like the Lord, he wants that communication. So anyway, all right. And this is my statement. There's nothing, in my opinion, there's nothing in your life more important than your prayer life. I don't care what it is. Because if you don't have a prayer life, and I'm not saying this as a condemning statement to you, okay? But at the same time, I'm a revivalist. I'm always trying to stir somebody. I'm always trying to awaken somebody. I've been in this too long to just coast. I'm trying to motivate and stir somebody with the word and with the spirit, okay? I'm trying to revive somebody. I may not know you need reviving, but I'm going to try to say something tonight to revive you. The word revive means to bring to life that which is dying or has died. Okay, if your spirit has died, if your walk with God has died or is dying, amen, I want to say something tonight. I want to trigger something in you tonight. I want to help you tonight. I want to encourage you, amen, give you a little reviving, as the Old Testament prophet said, give us a little reviving in the midst of the years. In the midst of the years, Lord, give us a little reviving. I think's how he said it. So prayer, or I should say the Bible, and specifically Psalms, is essentially a book about communing with God. It starts out that way in Genesis. I mean, when God made man and Adam and Eve, what was it? It was all about them communing with God. He walked with God in the cool of the day. And he talked with God, and God talked with him. So there was an open communication. And I have to watch myself in prayer, and I try to be very sensitive to this at home when I'm praying, that I don't want to do all the talking, but I want to listen. I want to listen to see if God would say something to me. Amen. I want to hear him. Praise the Lord. I want to have ears to hear and a heart to understand. And it really takes prayer to get there. Because if I'm just, you know, there's so much that gets our attention throughout the day. Life gets our attention. It don't have to be sin, but life gets your attention. And I have found this, and you may not be able to do this, but if you're not praying really regular, like every day, or, you know, close to it, I would say, if you can pray in the mornings. I have learned that praying in the mornings, some get up early. I'm not an early morning person. Man, you want to get up at 4 o'clock, bless your heart, and pray. I've still got 88 yawns to go. Right? So when I do get up, which I go to work, so before work, I want to pray. But if I can get my prayer in, then I know for the rest of the day I'm feeling good about that. Otherwise, what am I thinking about? I'm thinking, oh, I got to get my prayer in tonight. By the time tonight comes, I'm so wore out and beat. You know, and everything else has got my attention. Then the world has captivated my mind. All right, so I'm just giving you all that to help you a little bit, okay? So let's go to Acts 13:22, as you can see on your study. And when he had removed Saul, he raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. God is looking for men and women and young people that will be people after the heart of God. After the heart of God. What is the heart of God? What is his heart beating about right now? What is God thinking about right now? What does God want right now? I want to know that. I want to be like John that leaned upon the breast of Jesus. And he could feel his heartbeat, I believe, as he leaned upon Jesus and his other 11 watching. I believe that John could feel his heartbeat. I believe that he could hear his breathing. I believe that he could almost hear his thoughts. He was so close to him. Praise God. Acts 13:22. This version is a mess. I guess that's what it says here. MES. I don't know what version that is. But it must be a mess. All right. No. It's okay to laugh. I'm a laughing type of guy, so hang around me a little while. You'll find out. God removed Saul from office and put King David in his place. With the commendation, I've searched the land and found this David, son of Jesse. He's a man whose heart beats to my heart. I like that. God's saying his heart beats to my heart. A man who will do what I tell him. Oh, mind. And so how are we going to know the mind of God? How are we going to know if we're not in communication with God? The Bible says in the Old Testament that God reveals his secrets to his servants, the prophets, and he just doesn't go around telling his secrets to anybody. Not necessarily you have to be a prophet to hear from God, But they were the main spokesmen of the day, and they had a commitment to that ministry. But no doubt the prophets of the Old Testament were great, great men of prayer. All right. One thing that many people miss in studying the Bible is that it is fundamentally a prayer book. Somebody say a prayer book. It commands us to pray over 250 times. Wow. It speaks of prayer an additional 280 times. Gives repeated examples of great men and women praying, and even records many of their prayers, as in the book of Psalms. The Bible is a record of God's restoring to humanity the relationship that was lost in Eden. When Adam and Eve sinned, they stopped praying. Prayer, your prayer life, will help you keep from sinning. Or sin will keep you from praying. It's your choice. If you're doing both, evidently you need to hike up your prayer time. Hike up, do something in your prayer life, because you can overcome anything. Somebody say anything. And your prayer life is communication with God, and maybe it'll come to me. Well, praise the Lord. So God has restored man back to himself, and with the spirit of communication, let's say prayer that Adam had and possibly Eve had in the garden, in the cool of the day, as every day they talked and they communed. And so this is what God wants of his people. And at the same time, he knows how hard it is, because, again, we have so many distractions. And so I think tonight this little study will help us in those very difficult times when you just don't feel like praying, you don't feel like you don't know what to say, you just can't put your words together. So that's okay, because here is the remedy tonight, praying the scriptures. Genesis 4:26, and to Seth, to him also there was born a son, and he called his name Enos. Then began men to call upon the name of the Lord. So it sounds like, and I don't know for certain, but it sounds like there may have been a gap of time from Adam and Eve's fall and their stopping of their communication with God. From then until Genesis 4, it says, then begin men to call upon the name of the Lord. Don't let there be too much of a gap in your time with God. Let your prayer time be the most important thing you have. Make it important. You know, when my wife and I, before we met, we talked on the phone a long time. And finally met, and we finally got married. But, you know, I asked her a lot of questions, and she asked me a lot of questions. You know what I wanted to know about her? One of the first things I asked her, maybe the first thing, tell me about your prayer life. You think I'm going to marry a woman that don't pray? Nah. I ain't got time for that. No. I didn't tell her anything about my prayer life. I just want to know about hers. She said, well, I pray at night when I come home from work, and I usually pray about an hour each evening. I said, well, awesome. I do mine in the morning, and that's about what I do in the mornings. And so we would talk at night, and I'd pray my time in the morning, and then in the evening we'd put our cell phones on speakerphone, and we'd pray together on the speakerphone. And we hadn't even met, and we did that for a long time. We were praying together before we had met. So talking about building a bond and a relationship with somebody, oh my, you can do that. Praise the Lord. All right. The origin and root of everything we are doing today began with people calling on God. There's a scripture in the Old Testament. I think it's Jeremiah or Isaiah. He said, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. There's a promise in there, but first there is a, say, a command, a suggestion, however you want to term it. Call unto me. Call unto me, and I will answer thee. And I'm not just going to answer you, but I'm going to show you great and mighty things that you don't know. I'm going to reveal things to you. Some of you have prayer testimonies, no doubt, that you've had God answer you in such specific, powerful ways. And my wife and I have those testimonies, too. It is quite amazing. We all know we are supposed to pray, but sometimes one of the most frustrating aspects of prayer is not being able to find the right words to express what dwells deep within our heart. The Bible is a textbook on prayer. It teaches us the need to pray, the nature of prayer, and the rewards of prayer. But what seems to have been forgotten is that the words of the Bible can also become the very prayer that we need to pray. Amen? Very powerful. I just encourage you to practice this. And in a minute, I'm going to give you a demonstration of how I do it. Psalms is probably the best place in the Bible to learn to pray the scriptures. Praying the scriptures invites us to pray and then initiates our prayer. So praying the scripture invites us to prayer, to pray, and then initiates our prayer. So there's been so many times I'll be reading a Psalms because I'm trying to find God. I'm trying to touch God. I'm trying to break through something, and I haven't been able to. So I'm reading the Psalms. I'm sitting there, and I'm reading it. I'm not feeling anything. I'm not feeling God. And then maybe I'm searching, and I'll go to another chapter, and something will hit me, and I'm praying that out loud. And all of a sudden, what I'm praying has invited me into his throne room, in a sense. Now I have been captured by his presence. I'm feeling the spirit of the passage. I'm feeling the prayer of David or the psalmist. Now I take it as my own because I found what I needed in that moment of trial or tribulation or problem or whatever I'm going through. That psalm, that place that I have found, now becomes real to me. I make it my own, and I pray it as it is mine for the first time. And this is what you can do. It becomes very, very powerful. Prayer is as natural, should be at least, to a person as crying is to a baby. Selah. Exodus 3:7 and part of verse 8. And the Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people which are in Egypt. He said, I've seen their affliction, and God sees your affliction. And I've heard their cry. Somebody say, he's heard our cry. By reason of their taskmasters, for I know their sorrows. So somebody say, God knows my sorrow. And I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of that land unto a good land and a large unto a land flowing with milk and honey. Prayer is not manipulation of God. It is relationship with God. When we're praying and or fasting, we're not doing that to twist God's arm and to giving us what we need or want. It's not forcing God. No, I mean, the purpose of fasting, I'm not going to get into that, but it's different than prayer. It's really way different in many ways. But prayer, why would somebody want a prayer? Because they feel like they want to be the friend of God. They want to be part of what God does. They want a relationship with God. You know, Abraham Lincoln has always kind of, just the history of him has somewhat intrigued me throughout my life. And, you know, I've read some on him and whatever. But, you know, reading about him and learning about him and understanding him from a book and history, it would be so much different than if I was able to meet him and spend time talking to him. We have the God of the Bible. We have the God that we serve in the pages of this holy book. But that God is alive and he's real. He's not dead in a tomb somewhere. He's a present help in the time of trouble. And he wants to meet you where you are every day. You're not always going to feel God when you pray. You're not always going to talk in tongues when you pray. You're not always going to shout or cry when you pray. There's going to be times it feels dry and dead. But that's why you're going to talk. My wife and I have conversations that sometimes are lively and we're excited about something. But sometimes we're just talking all drab and boring. Oh, what are we going to do tomorrow? I don't know. What do you want to do? Where you want to go eat? I don't know where you want to go eat. All you married couples, it sounds just like you, don't it? Yeah. I know, we all say that. But you know, it's still communication. It's still relationship. And so there's different types of prayer. There's different types of responses. And you could change that word with communication. There's just different types of communication, different types of responses. All right, so let's... Psalms 5, verses 1 through 3. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. You could take that verse right there, and you could take that and some other verses, and you could pray. That's a good example of a prayer. Why don't we just all do that right now? Let's read that verse, that little section right there. Let's read it together, but let's just kind of just say it like we're praying it. How about it? Let's just do it kind of together. All right, I'll lead. Just do it together. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God. For unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee and will look up. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Some people can't really pray too well because they have a lot of condemnation. Now, we're not supposed to have condemnation. You know, we know the scriptures. There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. You got to throw that in because that's part of it. But when we're walking after the flesh, then guess what we get? We get condemnation. We get those condemned feelings. And when our hearts are not right, and we have those condemned feelings, then we can't have clear communication because our heart condemns us of some things, whatever it might be. Okay? So what I want to say about that is holy living will help your prayer time. And your prayer time will help holy living. They complement one the other. And so you've got to use your prayer time to overcome carnality. Use your prayer time to overcome the world that gets in your head. Because it gets in all of our heads, right? We can't let it stay there, right? Am I doing all right so far? All right, I'm on page 2 now. 2 of 2.